Since today is Father's Day, I was reflecting on being a father. And let me tell you, being a father isn't easy. And being a good one is even more difficult. I have found in my very short 7-plus years of fatherhood that parenting is one of the most challenging yet rewarding things I have ever done in my life. In raising our children, both my wife and I had had sleepless nights, long, drawn-out, stress-filled days, and have encountered more bodily fluids than I ever thought possible. It has been and continues to be an extremely hands-on ordeal. Through our efforts, nurture, and care, my wife and I pray that we are raising children who will work for justice, be gracious, and walk humbly with our God. All in all, we are simply trying not to raise a bunch of jerks, and it is quite the process. So with all this effort that goes into parenting, we encounter this parable of Jesus this morning, of a sower who just scatters seed and then leaves it. You did not hear that wrong. He simply scattered the seed and left it alone. This might make some of our gardeners in the congregation a little anxious, but yes, the parable Jesus tells has a sower who scatters seed willy-nilly and then doesn't tend to them, or water them, or even a little bit of fertilizer added to them. Basically, leaving them to their own fruition until the harvest comes. And then, and only then, does the sower return with the sickle. If only it were this easy with children. And yet, here is this seed, this kingdom of God. A seed that produces under its own power, not by manipulation or help from anyone or anything. On top of that, we hear about the kingdom of God as being compared to yet another seed, but not a seed from a great tree like the cedars of Lebanon, but no, a mustard seed. A plant whose wild version is seen as a nuisance and a weed. The kingdom of God as a mustard seed, as Jesus compares it, is one that is wide-reaching, persistent, and basically everywhere, whether you want it or not. If Jesus were in Wisconsin, he might have told the parable in a different way. Referencing perhaps those pesky dandelions, or better yet, rhubarb. Rhubarb is an exquisite example for the traits of the kingdom. There is always more of it, and it is meant to be shared. The rhubarb continues to grow whether you tend to it or not. It is quite wild and is so pervasive. This, my brothers and sisters, is the kingdom of God. It is something that comes not of our tending or care. To be frank, the kingdom of God comes in spite of us. The kingdom of God comes whether we live out our calling in baptism or not. The kingdom comes in spite of all of our shortcomings. And thanks be to God for that, because as a collective people, we are not doing so hot right now. We are becoming the monsters we fear most through our collective actions and complacency. For God's sakes, we are tearing children from their families and detaining them. So it is a good thing, a very good thing, that the kingdom is not dependent upon us. That the kingdom comes because God wills it and has inaugurated it in the coming of Christ. kingdom has been present since before time. But like the parable of the mustard seed, the growth of the kingdom can at times be very hard to comprehend and very hard to see with an untrained eye. The bottom line is that God is already at work in this world with or without us. Now, before you hear this as me letting you off the hook as disciples, let me tell you this. It is not. Yes, the power behind the spread of God's kingdom comes from God alone. And our job is not to manage God, but to join God, a God who is already working in this world. Our lives are an invitation to join in the work of the kingdom, for God is putting the world to rights, even if it doesn't seem apparent. The incarnation, ministry, death, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus of Nazareth are the foundation of our gospel proclamation, because in and through Christ, the kingdom has come. We are invited into the kingdom not as some innocent bystanders, but as participants, co-heirs and heralds and ministers of God's justice and reconciliation. We are not just some curators of the kingdom, but active, created co-creators, given all the tools necessary for this vocation through the waters of baptism. But lately, you may have felt less than equipped for the work of the kingdom. Lately, with all that has been transpiring around us in this country and around the world, you may have felt powerless. If not powerless, perhaps you have felt hopelessness or even despair. Hopelessness and despair that tomorrow will be no different from today. The Israelites in Babylon felt hopeless too. And so God sent Ezekiel with a word of hope for them, a word of hope for us. Ezekiel proclaimed to the people that even in exile, God had not given up on them. That even here in what looked like utter defeat, God had a way. For God has always had a way. That's what God has always done. God has more often than not taken the least likely, the weakest, the most absurd for the work of the kingdom. God has used the powerless to shame the haughty and proud before. And it's because God's economy is one of inversion. Those the world would deem as strong are in reality weak. The high and the mighty are brought down. The poor and the destitute are lifted up. The hungry are filled, and the wealthy go away hungry. Those who appear worthless have infinite worth. Giants are toppled by shepherd boys. The cedars of Lebanon are traded in and flipped for mustard shrubs. A manger becomes a cradle. And a crooked tree becomes a throne. God simply does not follow the patterns of this world. So for our sake, and for the sake of the world, instead of planting a sprig, as proclaimed by the prophet Ezekiel, God brought forth a stem. And this stem grew into a man who was firmly planted on Calvary through the cross. And under its shadow, his church resides. The kingdom of God, my brothers and sisters, does indeed grow mysteriously. It will and does bear much fruit. And it is a thing of great diversity, a thing that welcomes all under its branches, and welcomes all into the work of the kingdom based on Christ's kenosis, and not some victory march of Caesar. All this in order to give hope to the hopeless, healing to the broken, and to bring light to the darkness. Amen.